Hello and welcome. I'm Alec Hogg. You've read the headlines on biznews.com, watched the interviews on BizNews TV, and caught up on the BizNews briefing. So now let's talk about what the latest developments mean for your money. This is the Editor's Desk exclusive analysis for BizNews Premium members. Today is Monday, the 1st of December. Glad to have you with me. Not that long ago that James Lorimer was telling us that the gas endowment in South Africa is rich enough to transform the country in the same way that the diamond strike near Kimberley did and the Witwatersrand gold basin discovery did. Now that's a big statement, a huge statement. But Lorimer, who was the shadow minister for mining for the Democratic Alliance and is now the spokesperson on mining for the DA. He is no longer a shadow minister because the DA is part of the Government of National Unity. He's not a guy who is prone to making exaggerated statements. He does not exaggerate for effect. He was a journalist at a wire service at SAPA, I think he used to run for quite some time, highly respected. He really puts things down in the way that they should, doesn't chase headlines. And Lorimer was quite outspoken about the gas opportunities. And as a consequence of that, I followed the development of the gas resources in South Africa rather closely. Indeed, Lorimer came with us to London for the conference that we had for BizNews tribe members in the UK ahead of the 2024 national election. And at that conference, he spoke to the audience there, quite a large audience, and explained to them that this was one thing that wasn't being worked into their calculations. And, well, I got very excited. I have been very excited about that. But then, well, nothing until last week. Last week, we got two big moves in the right direction. The first of these was the announcement from the Public Investment Commissioners. That's where the public sector pension funds rest. And the PIC said that it now has a gas investment policy. Now, that's quite a big deal because the PIC is sitting on trillions, literally, of rand. And it has sometimes been seen by government as a way of supporting government projects. And the fact that the PIC is now looking to support gas investments is really big news. The second point was the formation of something called Gas Hub. And Gas Hub is a creation of 22 industrial users in South Africa. There's a lot of gas used in South Africa. It's been piped through from the southern Mozambique, where Sasol has got a gas field. And that has come through to the country and been used as a highly competitive source of energy by people like South 32 in their smelters, in some of the food companies, in the production of food, glass manufacturers, etc. And so the problem there is that Sasol has given notice that the southern Mozambique gas fields that it has access to are running out of gas. So here you have this extraordinary situation where South Africa has got lots of gas, but none of it's getting exploited. And our neighbors, Mozambique and Namibia, who have similar geology to us, are exploiting their gas fields a lot more aggressively. Now, the problem is northern Mozambique is a heck of a long way away. In my conversation today, and I urge you, if you're interested in the subject, to catch the director's cut, which will be published at 8 o'clock this evening. My conversation today with the executive director of Gas Hub talks a lot about the opportunities and why we can't pipe gas in from northern Mozambique. Jaco Himan is something of an expert in this field, but he does say that there's big opportunity for South African industry from Namibia. But then we got into the obvious issue, which is, but hang on, why are we having to pull gas in from Namibia and build these very long pipelines when South Africa's got exactly the same geology and should be producing more of this gas, but we aren't? And he then explained that it was to do with legislation, something that we know about, something that Lorimer's been talking about a whole lot, and something that at last does seem to be getting the attention of Pretoria. And if there can be a change to the legislation in a way that it makes it appealing for multinationals to come and get involved here in the same way as they have in Namibia and Mozambique, well, Lorimer's forecast of another bonanza like the gold and diamond one may well be around the corner. I'm very optimistic about South Africa on that score. Something I'm not that optimistic about, and I just have to tell you about it. I was engaging with a very wealthy fella who spends part of his time here and part of his time abroad. And he said, if you ever need any help from Home Affairs, just give me a call. I got contacts. And I said, what do you mean? And he explained how he needed a passport for a family member, and through offshore contacts, he was given a name at Home Affairs in Pretoria. He got hold of the person with the unusual name of Lucky, and Lucky got 4,800 rand to ensure that the family member could go into an embassy and have their fingerprints taken and the passport. With the passport application went from the bottom of the pile to the top of the pile, and that person has been able to join the patriarch of the family for Christmas. And I asked the guy, don't you see something wrong there? And he said, no, in his opinion, he's just helping people to do their jobs. He's incentivizing them to do their jobs. And I thought about it a lot over the weekend, and I actually got quite agitated at one point but I can't blame this guy, because, you know, he wanted to have this family member over for Christmas. That was the way that he in his worldview, believes that he's actually doing a good thing, and he's giving some guy at Home Affairs a nice Christmas bonus, I suppose. But the problem comes in that others get pushed to the bottom of the pile, and the rest of society, and especially people in the public sector, very quickly work out that if they keep you waiting, then you might get hold of them and you might try and grease the wheels. Now, we've had a situation with that in our company. We bought a car, a company car, through WeBuyCars, 7 weeks ago. WeBuyCars, brilliant. The range, incredible. But we have to get permission from the Western Cape government. I hate to think what happens in other parts of the country, because we're told the Western Cape government is the most efficient of them. We have to get permission from Alan Windy's lot to be able to buy the car by the company. So I suppose, in a way, you can understand this, because people could create shelf companies or fronts and then use them to acquire vehicles and then claim back the VAT or not pay VAT or whatever the case might be. So you have to make sure that it's a legitimate business. But, I mean, does it take 7 weeks to check that BizNews is a legitimate business? Does it take 7 weeks to sit on a very simple application in the best province in the country? And so my mind immediately goes to this chap that I met, and to people within the public sector thinking, well, you know, if I keep these guys waiting long enough, then surely, and I know Jeanette said to me, why don't you phone them and just find out what's going on? And you know, I need a cool drink. You hear that from police, traffic cops or police officers sometimes. Oh, you know, it's very hot today. I just need something nice to drink, which is code words for cross my palm with 100 rand and you won't get the ticket that I have to give you or should be giving you. It's little things like that, that we, the people, we as thoughtful patriots have to be putting our foot down on and have to be taking a stand on. And when we come across issues like that, just asking the person on the other side who as was in the case, this guy, I suppose, was being helpful, saying if you ever need, this very wealthy guy, if you ever need any help, I'm the man and this is why. Just to say, just to get him to rethink the approach. Because if we all take that direction or go in that direction, what are we doing? We're just enabling it, aren't we? We're enabling an escalation. And just to close off on the subject, a man that I really admire as a consequence of this is Mark Lamberti, the former CEO of Massmart, to a large degree the man who put Massmart together. I was on a trip to Bazaruto very many years ago, and I was in a part of the group on a charter on a small plane, and Lamberti, being pretty wealthy, he'd started a few companies, and his big passion was flying helicopters. He flew on his own helicopter, and we flew in this charter plane. And anyway, when we arrived on the charter plane, you could see Lamberti standing at the end of the Vilanculos runway, where the petrol or the jet fuel bases were. And he was standing there, and his helicopter was there. And we arrived, and we landed, and you needed to refuel. I think that was the reason. And we waited on the runway and then flew off again and arrived in Bazaruto. And as we flew off, maybe an hour later, Lamberti was still there. And we got to the venue and he arrived about 4 hours later. And I went to him and said, Mark, what happened? Did your helicopter break down? He said, no. He said, the guy wanted a couple of $100 as an incentive to put petrol into the helicopter. And I do not believe that we should be rewarding that kind of behavior. It's a bit cheap as Mark. You know, he kept you there for five, six hours. And if you think what your time is worth, it's a heck of a lot more than a couple of $100. And he said, it's not to do with the dollars. It's to do with the principle. I've never forgotten that. And never forgotten that message. It would have been so easy for him to say, it's Mozambique, they're corrupt, whatever, just go ahead and do it. But he didn't. And that's the Lamberti law that I keep paramount in my own mind. But more than that, when I hear people who happily fund the system without really considering the impact that it has, without really stopping to think that the extra $100 that they give to the policeman, or the $100 they give to the policeman to go and get his cool drink, and what that's doing to the system. Maybe they would think of them in Lamberti law. And when they say that to me, I'll tell them and do politely and kindly. No one likes a self-righteous, indignant, arrogant buffoon who knows better. It's not a question of knowing better. It's a question of just stopping and thinking and of being thoughtfully patriotic about our beautiful country. Okay, well, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you for being with me today. Keep an eye on the premium newsletter for links to our freshest published content. And thanks for trusting us with your time. I'm Alec Hogg. Until tomorrow, cheerio.